You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You know, I'm very blessed to be able to do what I do and have the career that I have and host this Locked On Kings podcast and be able to speak with you on a daily basis or nearly a daily basis here. But sometimes I have to talk about games in length, like last night, where the Kings beat the Golden State Warriors 111-98, but I found myself more bored and disinterested than I was engaged in this NBA product, and I put that in air quotes because it certainly didn't feel like an NBA quality basketball game last night inside the Golden One Center. Yes, the Kings won. Yes, they blew the Warriors out for the most part, even though they only won by 13 points. But it felt like the Kings did not play well in this contest, despite what the numbers may reflect. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk about Willie Cauley-Stein's return to Sacramento, aka the only really interesting storyline of this game. We'll discuss it all, plus we'll preview the Kings and Suns in Phoenix tonight on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the right place for you. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over 5 years. This is my sixth season covering the Sacramento Kings, but before that, I grew up a diehard fan of the Kings and have been a longtime resident here of Sacramento, so I'm part of this community, I'm part of this culture, and I understand you better than most. And in an attempt to not appear ungrateful for what I get to do, I will say that I always appreciate and do not take for granted being able to be in the Golden One Center and watch live basketball on nearly a nightly basis, at least for Kings home games during the regular season. It's something I appreciate and something I really enjoy. And if I had told myself at a young age that I would be doing this for a living in my 20s, I think I'd be doing backflips off of my bed in celebration. But games like last night sometimes are just hard to sit through, and I know many of you might have been in the Golden One Center. There were a good amount of Warrior fans there. Of course, plenty of Kings fans there as well, and it's crazy the difference, the distinction between the environment of the Kings and Warriors game last night compared to the environment of the two Kings and Warriors games last season that came down to the very wire. Of course, the Golden State Warriors were a much different team at that time. Steph and Klay were healthy. Kevin Durant was still on the team. The Warriors were near the top of the Western Conference, and the Kings were playing fast and one of the most exciting teams in the NBA to watch at the time. It gave us a lot of hope in Northern California as basketball fans that we could be starting a very, very exciting, entertaining, and maybe even extreme rivalry between the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings, who still to this date have not been in the playoffs at the same time. And that still could happen, but certainly not this season. The Warriors were without Steph Curry, without Klay Thompson, without Draymond Green, without D'Angelo Russell, and without Kevon Looney last night. And that's essentially their starting five. So we knew going into this game that the Golden State Warriors were going to feature a lineup of players that not too many people were familiar with. The starting five for the Warriors was Kai Bowman, Damian Lee, Willie Cauley-Stein, Eric Paschall, and Glenn Robinson III. Two of those five guys are two-way contract players for the Golden State Warriors, which tells you everything that you need to know. And before I break this game down and sound like I'm being overly critical or even rude when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, I just want to say this. I'm aware that the Golden State Warriors are actually in a pretty unique and potentially lucrative position right now. They can essentially tank this season away with all the injuries that they've been facing, get an extremely high draft pick, most likely a top five draft pick, and then next season, they get Steph back, they get Klay back, they get Draymond back. Who knows if they keep D'Angelo Russell or not? You add a solid rookie, maybe go out and sign another player or two in free agency, and all of a sudden, it looks like the Golden State Warriors are right back in the conversation for one of the best teams, if not the best team, in the Western Conference. So this is a very tough year for Golden State Warrior fans, and as much as I want to say I don't necessarily feel bad for them because of all the success that they have had as of late, this team is very difficult to watch. Now, this is the first full game that I have watched the Warriors play all year long. The only reason why I did watch it was because I was there in person. Even when the Kings played the Warriors in Chase Center in San Francisco earlier this season when the Kings won, I wasn't paying full attention to that game. I, to be honest with you, I had it on in the background on the side while I was doing other things at home. This Golden State Warriors product right now, it's just not worth watching and investing 3 hours of your time on a nightly basis. That being said, there are plenty of diehard Golden State Warrior fans who not only are watching this team, are paying pretty top dollar to go and watch this team live in the brand new state-of-the-art arena that they have there in the Bay Area. So full credit to them. I do feel bad for them having to work their way through this season because it's going to be a long one and it's going to be a tough one to watch at times. But there certainly is a very, very great chance of a quick turnaround and the Warriors to get right back into the spotlight. When we get to that point, then maybe I won't feel as empathetic as I do right now. And also, you'll always hear the talk and the sneering from jealous fans about bandwagons, because of course they exist. Every good team in the history of the world has had a bandwagon following. It's just natural in sports. Yes, the Sacramento Kings in the late 90s and early 2000s, they had a massive bandwagon following that dropped off for a little while. Luckily, a lot of that fan base came back during the relocation scare, and they've stuck around with the brand new Golden 1 Center, which I certainly appreciate. But bandwagon fans, they happen in every sport for every team, and I appreciate the fact that as much as you think that there are still bandwagon Warrior fans out there, which there very well may be, there was a pretty significant amount of Golden State Warrior fans in the Golden 1 Center last night that paid to watch that product take the floor. So I applaud them. I give them credit for supporting their team through this tough season, and I appreciate them. I'll just say that. But I'm very happy the Sacramento Kings were able to win this game. I think it would have been a catastrophic meltdown by Kings fans and by maybe the whole city of Sacramento if the Kings somehow lost to this Golden State Warriors squad that is now 9-29 on the season. The Kings improve to 14-23. And yes, they're still in the playoff conversation in the Western Conference. It's just been a weird year in the West. So the door is still wide open. De'Aaron Fox acknowledged as much after the game, although he did say there's still a lot that this team has to work on. And one of the things this team has to work on is taking care of the basketball. Luke Walton talked a lot about how at the beginning of the season, the Kings struggled with turnovers and they also struggled with fouling too much. And over the last couple of games, Walton feels that they're falling into that trap once again. The Kings, yes, they won by double digits. And yes, they blew out the Warriors. They led by 31 points at one point in this contest. But they turned the ball over 23 times. 23 times, resulting in 26 points for the Golden State Warriors. If they take care of the basketball even a little bit better, they're winning this game by maybe 40 plus points, or they're building up to a 40-point lead in this contest. Instead, they were sloppy a little bit. A lot of turnovers from De'Aaron Fox, 6 turnovers for him. You got 3 turnovers from Rashawn Holmes, a couple turnovers from Buddy Hield, 4 turnovers from Harry Giles off the bench. The Kings, just you could tell that they weren't 100% engaged in this game. They kind of cruised a little bit. They knew that they were a significantly better roster compared to what Golden State put out there. So maybe they weren't necessarily as mentally dialed in or focused as they should be. Luckily, they didn't have to be, to put things as bluntly as possible. This Warriors team, unfortunately, was just so bad that the Kings could not be mentally dialed in and still could win easily. The good news is for the Kings, they shot really well from the field. 48% from the field, 50% from three-point range, second straight game where they shot 50% or more from deep. Got to the line 23 times, made 18 free throws. That's 78% from the free throw line. Not great, but not terrible. Did a good job rebounding. They still lost the rebounding battle to the Golden State Warriors, 44-43, but relatively close. Ball movement was fantastic. 27 assists for Sacramento. Really, it was just those turnovers that really hurt them and the otherwise lethargic play at times from this Kings team. But the third quarter, they seemingly could not miss. They outscored the Warriors 38-24 in the third. That was enough to create the separation that the Kings needed to win. And the Golden State Warriors, they scored the final 13 points of this game, which allowed them to make it closer than it actually was, at least on the final box score. The Warriors shot 39% from the field, 19% from three-point range. They went 5 of 26. They actually started the game 0 of 17 from three-point range. That's just how their night went. But they did get to the line 32 times, converting on 25 of their attempts for 78%. Steve Kerr, Golden State Warriors head coach was ejected in the second quarter, and maybe he was the lucky one that got to get out early and didn't have to stay and watch that entire contest. He was frustrated with his team's inability to score. I'm sure he was frustrated just based off of how this entire season has gone, the injury issues that he and his team have dealt with. And then on top of that, he felt like his team was not getting appropriate foul calls early in this game. He stepped down on the floor, yelled at the officials to wake the F up. Two quick technical fouls, he's gone, and that was the most exciting moment of the night. Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox each led the Kings in scoring with 21 points apiece. For Hield, this is now his fifth straight game scoring 20 or more points, so he's seemingly working out of his rut, although his shooting percentage still hasn't been great. His shooting numbers this month are actually down from the field, are down compared to last month in December, where he struggled all month long, but his three-point shooting numbers are way up. He's shooting over 50% from three-point range so far in the month of January, so that's certainly a good sign for him. Also, it's no coincidence that the majority of those games have come from him playing alongside De'Aaron Fox once again. De'Aaron Fox gets Buddy Hield good looks, and Buddy Hield really benefits from playing alongside Fox, gets a lot more catch-and-shoot three-point opportunities, and we're seeing him convert them more and more and look a lot more comfortable out there with his offensive role. Trevor Ariza had his best game as a Sacramento King offensively, shot 7 of 9 from the field, including 4 of 6 from three-point range off of the bench for the Kings. Also had a couple of steals and a couple of dunks as well. So he looked good, and Harrison Barnes tallied 18 points of his own, 6 of 12 from the field, 3 of 5 from three-point range against the team that drafted him. Unfortunately, even when the Kings win, they lose a little bit, as Rashawn Holmes, who, you know, I've said it many times here on this podcast, I believe he has been the best player for the Kings this season, and I don't know if the Kings have 10 wins, let alone 14. They might not even have 7 wins if Rashawn Holmes wasn't on the team this season and wasn't performing to the consistency and the success rate that he has been playing at so far this year. But Rashawn Holmes, unfortunately, strained his right shoulder. Not entirely sure how it happened. Even he doesn't know entirely how it happened. Had a great quote with Jason Jones of The Athletic that I'm going to pull up for you and try and read and get for you here in just a second. But it looked like he collided with a couple of Warriors players when going for a loose ball, and it just tweaked his shoulder a little bit, and then it kept hurting as he tried to run up the floor. So the Kings checked him out of the game in the third quarter. He ran immediately into the locker room. He did return to the bench, but did not return to the game. Good news is, he traveled with the team, with the Kings. He is in Phoenix, but we have no word on if he is going to be playing tonight or not against the Suns. I have a hunch that he will not be playing. As we know, the Kings training staff likes to err on the side of caution typically, which means that Harry Giles most likely has now become the Kings' number one center. And that's an interesting thing based off the fact that he was not playing and getting any minutes only a couple of weeks ago. So we'll see what effect that has on the game here tonight. But this is what Rashawn Holmes said to Jason Jones after the game. He said, "I really can't say how I heard it. I just remember catching the ball and I went to go up and I just felt this pain in my shoulder and it got worse. I really can't tell you what happened, but I'll be all right." So Rashawn Holmes seemingly okay by his account. And I was paying attention to the Kings tunnel when he came back out. And Vlade Divac, of course, always stands in the tunnel leaning against the railing behind the Kings bench. I know the TV broadcast caught this as well. After Rashawn Holmes came back out, Vlade spoke with some of the trainers and then seemed to turn to some fans. I don't know who they were, but turned to somebody and gave them the thumbs up and a nod, suggesting that Rashawn Holmes is going to be okay. So that's good news. Even if he misses tonight's game, Rashawn Holmes seemingly isn't dealing with any kind of massive injury or anything like that. So it's nothing catastrophic compared to some of the other injuries that the Kings have dealt with this season. Once again, I felt like the Sacramento Kings could have ran a lot harder and more than they did in this game. However, I also understand the opponent that they were going up against, and maybe Luke Walton and the players felt that it wasn't necessary to go that hard in transition when they have another game the very next night and they're taking on arguably the worst team in the NBA right now. But 10 fast break scoring opportunities for the Kings. They converted on 5 of them for 13 points. The Warriors got 12 fast break opportunities, converted on 7 of them for 18 points. So once again, fast break. The Kings lose that battle there, but they ultimately win the game. I'm not going to be too nitpicky with that, at least in this contest. So the Kings turn their attention on the Phoenix Suns tonight. Final game of this regular season series between these two teams. Game four already that these two teams will be playing. The Kings lost the first in Phoenix to open up the season, won the second in Sacramento, lost the third in Sacramento, and now they're looking to even the series at two games apiece tonight and avoid losing the series 1-2-3 to a Phoenix Suns team that I think we all expected them to be able to beat in the Pacific Division going into this season. That's not to say, though, that the Suns don't have their weapons. Devin Booker has been on an absolute tear as of late. I think he scored 30 or more points in his last six games. He has been a Kings killer before, and he alone can really bury the Kings tonight in Phoenix. I'm interested to see what kind of pace the Sacramento Kings play with, if they try and get out in transition, if they try to establish their fast break offense here, even though they are on a second night of a back-to-back. Of course, if Rashawn Holmes doesn't play, what's the starting lineup going to be like? Does Harry Giles work his way into that starting center spot? And if he does, are the Kings criminally mismatched down low, dealing with Aaron Baines, DeAndre Ayton, and the rest of that Phoenix Suns size that has already hurt them so far this season? Or do the Kings elect to go small, maybe start Nemanja Bjelica at the five and move Trevor Ariza into the starting lineup and play him at the four spot? Bogdan Bogdanović will not be playing in this game. He didn't even travel with the team to Phoenix. Has been battling the flu as of late on top of the ankle injury. Thankfully, the flu is gone and over with. He was at the game sitting on the bench with the Kings last night, but is still dealing with the ankle injury. So he is not going to be playing in this game for sure. And how does that affect the Sacramento Kings as well? Overall, I believe that the Phoenix Suns are pretty significant favorites in this game. Last I checked, they're favored by 6.5 points at home. It'll take a decent effort from the Kings to find a way to get the victory tonight, but certainly not impossible. I'm just interested to see how they can build off of last night's win, if they will look overall sharper, even though they're on the second night of a back-to-back. Before I wrap things up on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, I, of course, have to talk about the rumors that we've been hearing that the Sacramento Kings are interested in Kyle Kuzma. Mark Stein put out yesterday, right after we released the Locked On Kings podcast, actually, that the Kings and Lakers have engaged in talks, and that the Lakers' asking price has begun with Bogdan Bogdanović. Then we got a report a little bit later from Sam Amick, also of The Athletic, formerly of USA Today, and actually the Sacramento Bee. He is based here in Sacramento, so he's very close with the Kings organization and this Kings team, has great connections with the entire front office and entire organization. So typically when he says something, you know it is accurate. He said that the Kings are not interested in just a Kyle Kuzma and a filler piece or player that would make the salaries match in order to trade away Bogdan Bogdanović. They would want another significant piece in return, which may stall talks. To me, this initial Stein report, it smells like a leak out of the Lakers organization or someone connected to the Lakers, whether it's Kyle Kuzma's agent or a front office member of the Lakers themselves, suggesting that Kyle Kuzma's value is a little bit is higher than what they're trying to make it out to be. Overall, I, of course, would not trade Bogdan Bogdanović for Kyle Kuzma, especially with the fact that the Kings have control over Bogey's contract situation right now. But if the Lakers came and blew the Kings' socks off with a tremendous offer, I don't know what that offer would be, but I think almost all of them are unrealistic that fans are coming up with. But if that offer was there, then maybe Vlade considers moving Bogey to acquire Kuzma. We know that Sacramento Kings head coach Luke Walton really values and likes Kyle Kuzma from his time coaching the Lakers, so it makes sense that there would be at least some interest there. Gut feeling, though, this doesn't really go anywhere. I don't think we're going to hear too much more that actually is legitimate in terms of these trade conversations and trade rumors. I do believe the Kings would be interested in acquiring Kuzma, but if they're going to trade away Bogey and his rights, they are going to need to get something significant in return, and Kuzma himself is just not it. Bit of a shorter episode of the Locked On Kings podcast today than usual. I apologize about that. Do have some housekeeping things here at the end. As always, though, if you have the ability to leave a review of this podcast, please do that. It helps me out and helps us out a ton. Best place to do that is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or the iTunes Store. But wherever you listen to this podcast, if there's a comment section or a review section, please leave your honest feedback, even if it's constructive criticism. We read that, we listen to that, and we're always trying to improve here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And I made this announcement a while ago. Things got kind of changed and muddied a little bit, but we're still working it out with the new California laws and the changes that that's making to the Locked On Podcast Network. But Locked On Kings is looking and accepting local sponsorship right now and local advertisement. So if you're interested in sponsoring the Locked On Kings podcast and having your product or your company and your business featured on Locked On Kings content, please reach out to me. Best place to find me for that kind of conversation is actually separate from the email address that I normally give for our mailbags or just fan interaction and listener interaction. Best place to reach me for any kind of those business inquiries is my Gmail account, which is mattgeorgesports@gmail.com. mattgeorgesports@gmail.com. No pressure at all. Even if you reach out to me, you're not going to get hounded by sales team or anything like that. It's going to go directly to me, and we can get into a conversation there about the specifics of sponsorship and things like that, and you can see if it's something that you and your company are interested in. Thank you to everybody for listening to today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. I look forward to having you back with me tomorrow. We'll recap this Kings and Suns game, plus a whole lot more. Please send your comments, questions, or any responses to this Locked On Kings podcast to my Twitter account, @MattGeorgeKHDK, if you're active on social media, or you can email me at any time, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Would love to get into conversations privately with you there. And until next time, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.